fans, we can all listen to the Sunny Side of Sports.
Great show, bro. This is Sunny Side of Sports.
Right here on the Voice of America.
Voice of America.
This is VOA Sunny Young in Washington. Welcome to the Sunny Side of Sports. Let's kick off with African women's football. First round action is taking place this week in Africa's Women's Olympic Qualifying Competition. The tournament will go through early February 2020, and when all is said and done, only one African team, and maybe two, will qualify for the 12-team Olympic women's football event in Japan. The winner of Africa's qualifying tournament qualifies directly to Tokyo 2020, and the runner-up will go to a playoff against Chile, the second-place team from South America. In one of the first-round African Women's Olympic qualifiers on Wednesday, Ethiopia will host Uganda in Addis Ababa. The head coach of the Crested Cranes of Uganda, Farida Bulega, says she has a fully fit squad to face the Dinknesh, or Lucy, as the Ethiopian women's team is nicknamed. Magumi Davis Rakawinj has more details for us from Kampala, Uganda.
Uganda Crested Cranes team captain Tracy Jones Akirol says she and her teammates are well prepared ahead of tomorrow's game. She says they know a thing or two about their tomorrow's opponents.
On behalf of my teammates, everyone is okay. The players are fine and they are looking forward to this game. All we hope for is a win against Ethiopia, though it won't be an easy game since they have the home advantage. But we are hopeful because we've ever played them in the SEKAFA, which was held in Rwanda, and we defeated them by 2-1. And we hope history can repeat itself even when we are away in Ethiopia, Addis Ababa.
SEKAFA stands for the Council for East and Central Africa Football Association, an association of the football playing nations in East and Central Africa. The Crested Cranes have been in residential training since March 22nd, ahead of tomorrow's game. Striker Fazila Ikwaput plays professional soccer for BIK Kazakhgat in Kazakhstan and scored in a 3-1 win against European giants Barcelona in European Champions League game in September last year.
I'm going to score because I'm a striker and I'm going to do my best for my team. I'm going to die for my country. I'm going to give 100% of all what I have.
USA-based defender Yudana Kayenze, who plays for Seminole State College in Florida, and striker Sandra Nabweteme, who plays for Southwestern Oklahoma State, are other professional players that Coach Bulega hopes will help her team get a point away from home. But she says she will be cautious while playing against the Ethiopians.
According to what I'm going to play that side, it is basically defensive. But if things change, automatically I'll switch to attack, because the best way of defending is attacking. I'm not focusing for the past, I'm looking forward, and I'm looking for those 90 minutes in Addis. I think with the Crested Cranes and the technical team, we are set to go.
The two teams will meet again on Saturday this week, and the overall winner will play against Africa soccer giants Cameroon in the next round. For the Sunny Side of Sports, I am Magume Davis Rwakarinje in Kampala, Uganda.
Thanks, Magumi. I'm Sunny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Still with African football, the draw for the 2019 Africa Cup of Nations tournament will be held April 12th near Cairo, Egypt. According to a statement from the Confederation of African Football, CAF, the draw for the 24-team Continental Showpiece will take place at a historic place facing the Sphinx and the Pyramids. One of the teams looking forward to the draw is the Taifa Stars of Tanzania, who qualified for the Nations Cup for the first time in 39 years. For reaction, Iron Mike Mbonye reached the technical director of the Tanzania Football Federation, Emmy Ninje.
It's an exciting time for Tanzanian football. I know 39 years is just a long, long time, but it wasn't easy. The whole country was in standstill because everywhere on the streets, in the office, everyone was so excited for us to qualify for such a long time. So we were, we can see it was coming, you know, since Emmanuel came on board. We knew that we got a chance this time to make it, and we did it. So that was very, very good in every community in Tanzania. The solidarity everywhere you go on the street now, people have got Tanzanian jerseys. So it's a good opportunity for the whole people, for the whole citizen in the country.
There are so many big names that have also qualified to play in the AFCON tournament. Is Tanzania scared of those big names that you are likely going to meet in Egypt?
As you know, in football, it's 11v11 player. I know the big names, you can say, like the Nigeria, the Senegalese, but we can manage them. We can manage them because we understand what it takes for us to be there, and then we're just going to come there as underdog. But I'm sure we have a goal, and we'll do the best to make sure that we're winning our games, to make sure that we're going to the second round. But it won't be easy for other countries to think that because we qualify for such a maybe second time for the 9 years, then they can take that Tanzania will be a weak team. We're not going to be a weak team. We're going to be a very, very strong team. We're going to come with a strategy and plan, and we'll make sure that we work so hard, offensive and defensive in our plan. So we'll be okay. I think we'll shock a lot of people when they see the way we play football when we come to AFCON.
How soon do you intend to start preparations for the AFCON tournament?
We're planning to do it at the end of May because the local league here is finishing mid-May, and also the international leagues for international player, also the league is finishing mid-May. So I think before maybe the last week of May, the preparation will start. We at least we need a camp for 1 month. You know, we haven't made a decision where we're going to go, but the planning is starting. We already sat down with Coach Amunike to start planning and preparing for AFCON. I think we're going to start end of May.
That's Ami Ninje, the technical director of the Tanzania Football Federation, and he spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye by telephone from Dar es Salaam, Tanzania. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Meanwhile, Iron Mike Mbonye also had a chance to chat with Tukunbu Fagun, the chairman of the Lagos State Chessboard Association. Tukunbu told Iron Mike the recent victory of 8-year-old Teni Tolua Adewunmi in a New York State chess competition was a proud moment for Nigeria.
Well, to be very honest with you, the young boy has made all of us very, very proud. He's made every Nigerian in any corner of this world a very proud moment for all of us. And of course, I think this is just the beginning of many more things to come.
Do we have more of Adewunmi, the New York chess champion, in the making in Nigeria?
I believe we have thousands and thousands of them. You know, like we've said already today, we just have to create more awareness. Once we do that, we'll reap the reward.
How can the game of chess be made popular in Nigeria?
Well, we thank PwC and Media Vision so far for taking the baton by the arm right now, because without them, we wouldn't have gotten to this stage. When they started off 5 years ago, we had 8 schools involved. But today, we have 22 schools. And I can assure you, this time next year, we would have at least 30 schools involved. Our duty as the Chess Board Association of Lagos State is to create awareness all over the state.
What has the response been like? In the process of creating the awareness, what has been the response by schools, the young ones, to the game of chess?
No, the awareness has been great. It has been very good, and I can tell you that, I mean, I'm sure that in the next 6 months, we would have another tournament like this, sponsored by whoever, maybe by Chevron or whoever. We're trying to make inroad, and we're getting there, but we're just not there yet. But I can assure you that the game of chess, it will probably take over football in Nigeria, because it's a game for young ones. You know, it helps their critical thinking, it helps their problem solving, it does a lot of things. In schools, their IQs, it goes up a notch when you're involved in chess, because you're always thinking, whatever you're looking at, you're thinking, how can I do this, what can I do that? The chess training you have, that is taking over.
That's Tukunbu Fagun, the chairman of the Lagos State Chess Board Association. And Tukunbu spoke with Iron Mike Mbonye in Lagos, Nigeria. I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on The Voice of America. Joining us once again on the show is sports reporter and occasional Sunny Side of Sports host, Dan Friedel. Sporty greetings, Dan.
Sporty greetings, Sunny. It's good to see you here in person instead of on the phone or from some far-flung remote location.
Nice to have you in the studio, Dan. We heard from Megumi Davis, Rockawinge, and Kampala at the top of the show. Megumi was reporting on this Olympic women's soccer qualifying match between Uganda and Ethiopia. The Olympics right around the corner in Tokyo next year. And that reminds me, Dan, you just got back from Japan. Talk a little bit about your trip. What did you do in Japan?
Well, Sonny, I had a great experience in Japan. I got a chance to visit a family friend who's staying there for a few months. So I was exposed to some of the Japanese culture from an insider, which is quite the different experience than you would get as a tourist going around the country. So that was really exciting. I spent a number of days in Kyoto, which is this famous city in Japan for having a lot of architectural sites that are integral to the history of Japan, a lot of shrines and temples. It's kind of similar to what an American might think of when they think of Boston, Massachusetts, having a lot of old buildings and old architecture related to the foundation of the country as we know it today, versus a city like Tokyo is the commerce center of the country. So I was able to be in Tokyo as well. And one of the things I saw in Tokyo was the blossoming new Olympic Stadium, which is going to be ready a few months from now, almost a year ahead of schedule.
Now, you say new Olympic Stadium, and yet there's some renovation involved. Talk about that.
Well, so the site, which is in the downtown part of Tokyo, a beautiful park setting with trees and a temple nearby, and it's walking distance from some of the major kind of commerce, hotel, shopping areas of Tokyo, was the site of the 1964 Summer Olympics. The stadium continued to be used for a number of decades after that and was torn down in 2015 when Tokyo was aware that they were going to be hosting the 2020 Olympics. And so now, from scratch, a brand new stadium is being built. And I was able to walk around the stadium and see how it looks. I was also sitting in the stands at a Yakult Swallows professional baseball game in March, watching the game, but also seeing the stadium being built in the background. It was a pretty cool experience.
Did you get a sense, Dan, of how the Japanese are preparing for the games? Do they seem well along in their preparations?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think one of the ideas for the IOC offering the games to Tokyo was that the city already has such a great infrastructure. They are used to having tourists come to the city. They have a robust public transportation system. The city is pretty walkable. The only caveat I would give anybody who's planning to go to Tokyo is that beware walking on the streets, because there are a lot of bicycles on the sidewalks. So you have to look for foot traffic and bicycle traffic when you're walking around in Tokyo. People are really excited about sports there. And one of the examples of how excited and deep into sports culture people in Japan are was that Ichiro Suzuki, the famous baseball player, announced his retirement from professional baseball. He started his career in Japan, moved on to the Seattle Mariners in the first part of the 2000s, went on to have an incredible career in Major League Baseball, joined the Seattle Mariners during this year during spring training, and kind of had a couple of farewell games in the Tokyo Dome in Japan, and bade farewell to all of his fans on his home soil in what was technically game two of the Major League Baseball season. And the next morning, that was all anybody wanted to talk about. You know, there was lots of international news, politics news in the United States and Europe. And the big story on all of the TV shows and in all of the newspapers was Ichiro retiring. So it's a very plugged in sports culture there in Japan.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. Chatting with Dan Friedel. Dan just got back from Japan, which will host the 2020 Olympics. And Dan, I understand you picked up some Olympic memorabilia, so to speak.
Well, you know, there's a not quite as robust a souvenir situation yet on the Olympics. A few little trinkets here and there, but I wanted to offer you, Sonny, something to keep you energized. Not that you have any trouble being energized, but it's a package of the Aquarius sports drink, which I'm sure is familiar to some of our listeners. It has a good dose of vitamin C and B vitamins to keep you going. Just mix it with water and you'll be all set for your endeavors this summer.
I feel more energetic just looking at the package, Dan. Yes, I will try this. I guess it's, as you said before the show, it's akin to Gatorade, that kind of sports drink.
Electrolytes, vitamins, hydration keeps you going in the hot weather. So save it maybe for July.
Okay, we'll wait a few months. Well, Dan, you mentioned Ichiro, the Japanese baseball star, and the start of the Major League Baseball season here in Washington. Big game later Tuesday night. Featuring basically was once the cornerstone of the Washington Nationals franchise, Bryce Harper, but he's returning in a different uniform. Talk about that.
Just down the street from VOA's studios, I'll be there working at the game tonight. Bryce Harper signed a big contract in the offseason with the Philadelphia Phillies, whose home field is just over 100 miles north of Washington, D.C. He's making a return to Washington to face his old teammates, including fireballing right-handed pitcher Max Scherzer in the game tonight. The Phillies actually off to a good start, managed to sweep the Atlanta Braves over the weekend in their opening series. Bryce Harper hit a 465-foot home run during one of the games.
Mm.
And it'll be interesting to see what kind of reaction he gets from the local fans. I think there will hear a few boos from the crowd when Bryce steps up to the plate on Tuesday night.
Bryce Harper briefly was the highest paid player, not just in Major League Baseball, but in American sports. And then he was surpassed by Mike Trout of the Los Angeles Angels. What was your reaction, Dan, to Trout's big contract?
Well, there's no doubt that Mike Trout is the best player in baseball. He's been it for 7 years or so. He's not the most talked about player because, first of all, he plays for the kind of the second popular team in Los Angeles and in the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, and hasn't been in the playoffs very often in his career. He's made amazing catches. He hits home runs. He steals bases. He's really a great all-around player. And he's actually up there in his first 7 years of his career with all of the greatest players in baseball history as far as the stats that he's put on the field. So sounds like he deserves it, and he's been in great shape. He hasn't had many injuries. I'm sure he'll play well into his 30s.
I'm Sonny Young, and you're listening to the Sunny Side of Sports on the Voice of America. I'm chatting with sports reporter Dan Friedel. Dan, I know we're only a few games into the new Major League Baseball season. What have been maybe some of the highlights and surprises for you so far?
Well, you know, for example, we were just talking about the Seattle Mariners playing a couple of games early in the year in Tokyo, then coming back, finishing spring training, and playing again here in the U.S. They actually have the most wins in baseball because they've played a few extra games. They've actually played 7 games. They're 6-1. If our listeners remember, last year was kind of an epic World Series between the Boston Red Sox and the Los Angeles Dodgers. The Red Sox capped off an amazing season where they had the most wins in baseball and kind of flew through the playoffs, defeating some good teams in the playoffs, winding up winning the World Series. The Red Sox are kind of struggling. They're 1-4. They're in last place in the American League East. They've had some pitching problems, giving up 6, 7, 8, 9 runs a game. While on the other hand, the Dodgers are in first place in the National League West. And on opening day, I believe they set or tied a major league record with the most home runs on opening day in the history of baseball.
Mm,
and they actually have two players so far have combined for 7 home runs in the first five games of the season. So the Dodgers look like they're in good shape, even though they played a long, long season last year, losing to the Red Sox in the World Series.
And Dan, I understand you want to give a shout out for a Milwaukee Brewer.
Yeah, Christian Yelich was the National League MVP. He was, an outstanding young player with the Miami Marlins and was traded to the Brewers two seasons ago. He was the National League MVP last year, helped the Brewers get back on top. If you remember, there was a lot of up and down in the last week of the season in the National League Central, where the Chicago Cubs and the Brewers were all, and the Cardinals were all trying to figure out who was going to make the playoffs. There had to be an extra game, a game 163 in the season. Mm. The Brewers wound up in the National League Championship Series, losing to the Dodgers. But Yelich is off to a great start again to make it seem as if his MVP season last year was not an aberration.
There is a Major League Baseball team based in Minneapolis, Minnesota, the Minnesota Twins. But coming up this weekend, Dan, maybe the best day of college basketball all year. The Final Four will be played in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Quick look at the matchups in the U.S. Men's College Basketball Championship Tournament. Top-seeded Virginia will play Auburn, and that will be followed by a game between Michigan State and Texas Tech. Your thoughts on the Final Four, Dan?
Well, the interesting thing about University of Virginia, not too far away here from Washington, D.C., is one of the best teams in college basketball the last few years. The coach is Tony Bennett, not to be confused with the well-known crooner Tony Bennett. One of the best teams in the last few years, but really haven't fulfilled some of their potential, losing to Syracuse a couple of years ago, and stunningly losing to University of Maryland, Baltimore County, a tiny, tiny school just north of here in Washington, D.C., in the first round of the NCAA tournament last year, shocking everyone who had picked UVA to make it deep into the tournament. So finally, they're paying off on their potential. And Sonny, I think you mentioned there was a player of African descent who made a big play keeping UVA's season alive in their game last weekend.
Indeed. Let's give a shout-out, a Sunny Side of Sports shout-out, for Guinea's Mamadi Diakite for the Cavaliers of Virginia. Talk about that play he made, Dan.
Yeah, he was able to keep a play alive and then wind up making the game-tying shot in regulation to send the game into overtime against Purdue, that University of Virginia wound up winning in the extra period. But without him making the rebound and making the game-tying shot, we're talking about Purdue in the Final Four.
One team that did not make the Final Four, perennial favorites, Duke University, the Blue Devils of Duke, led by Hall of Fame coach Mike Krzyzewski. They didn't quite make it. They lost in overtime, Dan. But let's give another shout-out for Zion Williamson, pretty much the consensus collegiate player of the year. Your thoughts on Zion?
Yeah, Zion Williamson, really athletic, strong, large player, almost probably the same size as LeBron James. Young player leading the Duke team. Actually, people are expecting four players from this Duke team, along with Williamson, RJ Barrett, Cam Reddish, and Trey Jones to be first-round picks in the NBA draft later this year. Probably the best players this year in college basketball, but not the best team.
Interesting. So it's not always talent that wins these games.
No doubt about it. I mean, you have Michigan State, Tom Izzo, a coach that's been in the game for 25 years, a 1-1 championship. Michigan State was being rooted on by Magic Johnson, the famous Michigan State grad who really put college basketball on the map back in, I believe, 1980 in the final game with Larry Bird. And they're going up against Texas Tech. So, four teams that are big schools who have plenty of money, but actually four schools that don't have a ton of history in the finals, except for Michigan State. So if Tom Izzo and Michigan State can get past Texas Tech, I think everybody's going to be predicting Michigan State wins a championship this year.
And Dan, I love nicknames, sports nicknames on the Sunny Side of Sports. So let's give shout outs for all Final Four teams: the Cavaliers of Virginia, the Tigers of Auburn, the Spartans of Michigan State, and the Red Raiders of Texas Tech. I think Texas Tech and Auburn first time in the Final Four.
Yeah, absolutely. Auburn known for football and Charles Barkley. Charles Barkley, right. Great player at That's Auburn, right. But really known for football. Will be interesting to see if Barkley has something to say if Auburn makes it into the final game.
Thanks, Dan. Sports reporter Dan Friedel. And we'll have you back, Dan. And that wraps up the April 2nd edition of the Sunny Side of Sports. Thanks to Voice of America producer Bill Werkinger. Thanks also to VOA engineer Thomas Blondette. And thank you for tuning in. I'm VOA Sonny Young in Washington, and that's the Sunny Side of Sports.
I get it.
Hello, this is Shaka Sali, host of Straight Talk Africa.
On April 7th, the United Nations marks the 25th anniversary of the genocide in Rwanda. More than 800,000 people, mostly Tutsi, were killed. An in-depth discussion of what Rwanda and the world has learned from this tragedy on the next Straight Talk Africa.
Tune in Wednesdays at 18:30 UTC right here on VOA Africa.
VOA brings you the best in African music on the African beat. African beat showcases the latest and the greatest of contemporary African music, from bobo music to hip life, bonga flavor to soukous, afrobeat to ndombolo and makossa to kwaito. The African beat on VOA has it all. And it's happening right here, Mondays through Fridays at 09:05 and 20:05 UTC, right after the international news.
Hello, this is James Butte, Managing Editor and host of VOA's Daybreak Africa show. Join us Monday through Friday at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC as we bring you the latest Africa news, features and sports. You can also be a part of Daybreak Africa through our mail segment by sending your comments to daybreakafrica at voanews.com. Or you can call us on 001-202-205-9942. And when you hear the Voice of America identification, press the number 25 to leave us your message. That's Daybreak Africa at 03, 04, 05 and 0600 hours UTC, right here on VOA Africa.
This is Science in a Minute.
Scientists say they have found a large collection of the fossilized remains of plants and animals that were killed and buried within 1 hour of a global event that is said to have killed the dinosaurs. The assortment of fossilized insects, fish, mammals, dinosaurs, and plants was found at the Hell Creek Formation, not far from Bowman, North Dakota. About 66 million years ago, a disaster known as the Cretaceous Tertiary, or KT extinction event, is said to have destroyed about 75% of the Earth's plant and animal species. One of the most popular suspected causes of this mass extinction is the Chicxulub impact event, in which an 11 to 81 kilometer wide comet or asteroid smashed into Mexico's Yucatan Peninsula. The impact is said to have started a species-killing chain reaction that may have included earthquakes, tsunamis, volcanic eruptions, and a nuclear winter. I'm VOA's Rick Pantaleo.
VOA Africa has built a successful, effective social media strategy through Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and other digital platforms. We are responding to our audience on the African continent and in the global diaspora. We believe in the power of connection and interaction to bring you news that is comprehensive, accurate, and objective. We see the changes in technology as an opportunity to engage with our audiences about the issues that affect them. At VOA Africa, we don't just report the news, we help shape the conversation on the continent. VOA, your trusted source for news and information.
VOA's Learning English is available online at learningenglish.voanews.com. Check out our programs such as Let's Learn English, English in a Minute, Everyday Grammar, and many more. VOA's Learning English, your reliable source for learning English.
News happens around the clock, and VOA brings you the latest at the top of each hour. Tune in for a summary of the news at the top of each hour, around the clock on the Voice of America. Hourly newscasts on the radio and on the internet at voanews.com. VOA, a leader in news coverage for over 70 years.